All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. Open our Bibles, please, to the book of Luke and chapter number 17. The book of Luke and chapter number 17. Anybody have a testimony tonight? Just a word? Testimony, something you're thankful for, something good the Lord's done in your life? Anybody have a word tonight? Ms. Christine. Amen.
Goodness. Amen.
Miss Christine comes as close to preaching as anyone I've ever met in my life. Amen. And, but I thank the Lord that He healed you from that blindness and some other physical things she's been going through. God has certainly answered those things, isn't He? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to be just as much in prayer for the memorial service this Friday at 10 a.m. for Brian. And let's just be much in prayer about that. And I know there'll be a lot of folks here probably that are unsaved, don't know the Lord. And then I think there's probably a lot that are running from the Lord. And just pray that God will do great work in people's lives and bring people back to God during that time. Amen. And that's what I'm praying for too. Well, Luke chapter 17, let's begin with verse number one tonight. Luke 17, verse number 1. The Bible says here, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. For it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And I want to preach on that thought tonight. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Let's pray tonight. God, thank you for the Bible tonight and the privilege to open it up and hear the Word of God again. We know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Lord, we just ask your blessings, your power tonight as we open the Bible. Give us what we need tonight, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to you, to your will, to your way, to your purposes in our own individual lives. Lord, and I pray that you'd accomplish tonight what you desire to accomplish in the truth that we give tonight. Lord, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for being in church tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage of Scripture is about faith that we looked at and that we read tonight. We find that the apostles are going to the Lord and they're asking the Lord, Lord, we need more faith. Lord, increase our faith. They certainly went to the right person to ask when it went to asking to increase their faith. They went to the Lord Jesus. And faith is of the Lord. We know that. And, God, and the Bible says that the apostles asked God for increase. They said, Lord, we need more faith. I think part of verse 3 and 4 is part of the context of why they asked for more faith. We find here in verse 3 that he talks about, Jesus says, if a brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou wilt forgive him. Now, I think in that context, they're saying, all right, Lord, if someone trespasses against me, and they ask me for forgiveness, I can forgive them once. If they ask me twice, if they do the same thing against me twice, I could probably muster up enough faith to forgive them twice. Now, the third time is a charm. Have you ever heard that expression? The third time is a charm. If somebody does something to you once and repents, they do it twice. And by the third time, don't you think our human natures would say, hey, now wait a minute, you've already done this twice. Why should I forgive you again? You've already offended me twice. So Jesus even goes on further than that. He says, if in one day someone offends you seven times in one day, and then they ask you for forgiveness, Jesus said you're supposed to forgive them. Now, that context is interesting because right after that, the disciples look at the Lord and say, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we're having a hard time with this one. Lord, we need more faith. We need to be able to have better faith in God. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some times when I look at God and I say, Lord, I need more faith. I need more faith in you. The Bible is a declarative book, not just a interrogative or a question mark. It is a book that is full of solid statements, but yet we find our faith oftentimes is a book of question marks or a book of doubts. We don't always have the faith we need. You remember Jesus? You remember when Peter came to the Lord Jesus? He told the Lord Jesus, bid me come thee. And he said, come on. And he got out on the water and he started sinking. You know, we laugh at Peter, criticize Peter for that. But can I tell you, there's a bunch of them that didn't even get out of the boat. They didn't even get out. They didn't even try to exercise their faith. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, though, that as Christians, we need more faith. We need to have faith in God, and we can increase our faith. Our faith can be stronger in God today than it ever has. The more trials and troubles we go through, I tell you what, the more faith we need to trust in God. We need to just believe God. And so I want to give you some thoughts tonight on faith. Go to Romans chapter 10. And let's begin there tonight. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17. Now, God gives us a foundation for faith here in Romans chapter 10. And I want you to notice what he says. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. And this is the first point I want to give you tonight on increasing our faith. Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 17. Scripture tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you get around the word of God, the better off your faith is going to be. Now, can I tell you what? I've known Christians over the years that have just kind of laid out a church. Or they don't feel like coming. Or they just got something else to do, more distracted. It's a matter of time before their faith becomes weak. And the problem is because they are not under the Word. The Word of God is meant to build your faith. Well, there's nothing like getting under an old-fashioned hellfire, brimstone, barnstorming preacher. Amen? You know, I like the kind that just step on your toes when they preach. We need that kind again. We need that kind that preach at us. You know why? Because the Word of God, God's Word, needs to penetrate our hearts because it's faith that comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word. Are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? Is your Bible laying alongside the shelf? Are you in it? If you're not in it, you're not going to have more faith in God. Your faith will wane. And before long, your faith will be resting in your own self. And boy, that's a terrible place to be. Faith comes from the Word of God. Can I tell you, God has ordained preaching for us to be under and to listen and to open our ears and to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I like preaching. I listen to sermons during the week. I like all kinds of preachers. Short preachers, tall preachers, skinny preachers. And then my kind. Amen? I like preachers. I like hearing preaching. And I like it when it gets... There's something about when you step on your toes, it all goes all the way to your heart. We need that. I tell you what, I could not be an Episcopalian just for the preaching alone. Amen? All these religious groups leave out preaching. Well, tell you something. God's ordained and manifested that we need preaching in our life. And you know, when preaching is not, when you're not under preaching the Word of God, there is a lack of faith that you're going to have in your life. There's an unsettledness in your life. I appreciate Ms. Christine's testimony. She told me that before the service. I got to hear her testimony twice tonight. But God gave her, she said, when I turned it over to the Lord, I felt free of it. Well, that's a lesson of faith. Amen? Because you're going to have things in life that will come and you won't understand, but when you're under the Word, it teaches you to have faith. And hear by hearing the Word of God. It's amazing. Oh, listen. I always worry about a Christian who starts missing Wednesday night, and then they start missing Sunday night, Then they start missing Sunday morning. Before long, you don't see them. And you know what I know happens? Their life goes down, down, down. They lose their faith in God. The disciples didn't say, Lord, give me less faith. They said, Lord, give me more faith. I need more faith in you. I need more faith in you. Oh, we need more faith. How is your faith tonight? How's your faith? Patrick Henry, when he was dying, he called his children around him. And he said these words, I'm about to leave you all of my earthly possessions. There is one more thing, though, that I would like to leave you, namely, faith. If I could leave you that and nothing else, you would be rich indeed. If I could leave you everything else and not that, you'd be poor indeed. Faith in God. Do you have faith? You know, as I look in the Bible, some of the most unusual people had faith in God. Do you know a Roman centurion had faith in God? Do you know a blind man? A blind man had faith in God? It is not our status or our place in life that causes us to have faith. It's our choice. It's our choice. Faith in God and faith in the Word is a choice that you have to place in God. Faith in God. Can I tell you secondly tonight that God is looking for our faith. God's looking for our faith. Go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. Notice verse number 18, Matthew chapter 9. And verse number 18, notice what the scripture says here. It says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. You know what? Jesus was looking for that. He was saying, there's somebody that believes in me. When you take the principles of the Word that are in the Bible, and by the way, make sure your faith is solid in the principles of the Word. You can put your faith in a lot of things, but they'll falter and fail. Put your faith in the Word. When you put your faith in the Word, and how many times is it that we don't put our faith in the Word? It's easy to do, but we need that faith. God's looking for the faith. And notice, when this ruler came to Jesus and said, hey, would you come and heal my daughter? I know you can do it. Notice what it did to Jesus. And Jesus arose, verse 19, and followed him, and so did his disciples. God honored his faith. You know, we teach and believe in faith promise giving in the Bible. We believe that you give by faith. You trust God. When you make that commitment, you have to take a step of faith. And that's my third point tonight, is take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. Human nature loves to sit in its comfort zone. We don't want to take a step of faith. But I like what one preacher said. He said, if you get out on the limb, it takes faith. But out on the limb is where the fruit is. God's trying to teach us, if we're going to have increased faith, then we've got to take that step of faith. Take that step of faith. I'll never forget when I was a teenager. I had my braces. I had braces when I was a teenager. They called me brace face. And I had to go down and drive to Denver. We lived in the mountains. And I had to drive to Denver and get them tightened. Well, there was a Jehovah's Witness kid that lived in the same town. He went to the same orthodontist. And the orthodontist said, hey, why don't you two guys ride together and come down here and I'll tighten both of your braces. So we got together. I picked him up. We got in the car and we went to Denver. Just probably 16, 17 years old. Got in the car. I got my old Tornado. I had a 72 Tornado. Army tank green. And the interior was olive green. 1972. It just fitted right in 1972. We got in our car. We were driving down there. You know, the Holy Spirit began to work on my heart. He began to say, talk to this guy about the Lord. And you know what? I didn't want to take that step of faith. I didn't want to take that step of faith. And the whole way down, the Holy Spirit was bothering me. We got to Denver. Went to the orthodontist. Had our braces tightened. Got in our car. We're heading home. And man, it was worse. The Holy Spirit was getting on me even more. And he said, tell this guy about the Lord. And I'll never forget. Finally, I got to the place where I mustered up enough guts. To look at him, and it just blurted out. I said, do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? He looked at me and he said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I was like, oh, great. Now what do I do? Amen? You know what? Same plan for a Jehovah's Witness is the same plan for everybody. And I told him, I said, you know what? You can know Christ as your Savior. You can be saved. I said, can I take the Bible and show you how to know it? To my surprise, he said, yeah. A Jehovah's Witness boy. We pulled into a 7-Eleven in Dillon, Colorado. And I opened my Bible, and I showed that guy how to be saved. He prayed right there and asked God to save him. Man, I wanted to shout. You know, for me, that was a step of faith. I had to get up some gumption to do that. But I am glad today that I took that step of faith. He went home, and for some reason, his parents would never let him ride with me again. I don't know why. I'm a nice guy. But they never let him ride with me again. But I'll tell you what, they couldn't take his salvation away. I'm saying to you tonight, you've got to take a step of faith. Does God speak to you and knock on your heart's door and tell you to take a step of faith? And if he does, are you taking those steps of faith? Are you taking them? God wants us to. He's watching our faith. The Bible reminds us when God comes back again, he's going to see if we have faith. We need faith. We need faith. Have you taken a step of faith? You know what I like about a step of faith? Is when you take that step, you find God there. When you take a step of faith, you find God there. You say, well, God's back here too. Yeah, I know, but when you take that step of faith, you don't think God's there. But I want you to know, God is there when you take a step of faith. You say, what step of faith? Maybe it's starting to witness. Maybe it's starting to give to missions. Or maybe it's saying, all right, God, you knocked on my heart to go talk to that neighbor. You knocked on my heart to start doing this. Or start coming to soil. Or start coming to whatever it is. When you take a step of faith, you'll find God there. Remember Abraham? He left his home in the Ur of the Chaldees. He left his comfort zone. Him and Sarah got up and went. They sojourned in a country looking for a city whose builder maker is God. They were looking for God, but they had to take steps of faith to do it. Remember Abraham? Remember when he got up to that place where God told him to go sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah? He took Isaac and put him on that altar. And he raised that knife. He was going to slay his son, and in, in obedience to God. Wow. What a step of faith. But he believed God. And he took that knife, and as soon as he was ready to thrust it, God stopped him and said, now I know. Now I know. I've wanted to do that to my boys sometime in life. Thank God he stopped me. Amen. No, I'm simply saying, the Bible's full of people who had to take steps of faith in their lives so that God's will and purposes could be accomplished. Don't keep taking steps of faith in your life. You say, Lord, not another step. And here's what Christians do. We take a step of faith, and then God says, take another one. And then we sheepishly take that next one, God says, take another one. Lord, are steps of faith ever going to end? Why should they ever end if you find God there? Why should they ever end if you find God there? I hope I'm still taking steps of faith when I'm 80 years old. I hope I'm taking steps of faith tomorrow. But you see, God wants our faith. Number four, we increase our faith when we actually believe in the Word of God. We increase our faith when we actually believe in the Word of God. Now, I know how it goes. We hear the Word of God, and we see it, we know. But a lot of times, we just really don't put our faith in what God says. We live on the surface of God's Word many times, But we don't really get to the place where we believe God. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be in the place where we believe God. When you are following God and you are in His Word and in His will, there is going to be a place at which you can trust and enjoy your Christian life with steps of faith. There have been times when Man, I didn't know what to do. You ever had times like that? I didn't know what to do. And by the way, when you're in a place like that, the old devil's going to be there too. The old devil's going to tempt you to do the wrong thing when there should be a step of faith in the right direction. That old devil will get on you. And he will try to douse out your heart to take that step of faith. I think if Christians walked in a light where they recognize the devil is trying to attack their faith, I think if we were more aware of that, it would help us understand the value of taking steps of faith in our life. Because that old devil wants to sit on our shoulder, discourage us, defeat us, tell us, don't take a step. Don't follow God. Just live a comfortable life. Just sit back and relax and rest. And hear me, God's trying to teach us. No! Take steps of faith. Keep on prodding forward. Keep on pressing forward. Take a step of faith. That's what God's saying. Trust in the Word. You believe the Word? Oh, the Word is so important to believe. We have to believe. Well, God is teaching us. D.L. Moody, he tells a humorous story of two heavily intoxicated men who were on a little boat. They went down to their little boat to return to their homes across the bay. They got in the boat and began to row. They rowed hard all night long and wondered why it was taking them so long to get to the other side of the bay. When the sun came up, as the two became more sober, they discovered their mooring line had never been loosened, and their anchor had not quite been raised. This is a funny story, but can I tell you what? In our Christian life, there's oftentimes many things that weigh us down that keep us from progressing in our faith in the Lord. And you know, this whole world can give a distraction to you. This whole world can divert your attention away from faith. But may I tell you what? God is always there knocking on our hearts saying, put your faith in me. When you don't know what to do, put your faith in God. Put your faith in God. When you're out of answers, when you're out of energy, when you wish things didn't work out the way they did, it's time to put your faith in God. It's time to trust Him. It's time to let God know you're putting your faith in Him. You have faith in God? Are you trusting the Lord? Number four. We increase our faith when we rest in the Word. Can I tell you, many Christians are restless. And they don't put their faith, their rest, their trust in the Word. Look at Luke chapter 5 with me, please. The book of Luke, chapter number 5. Notice verse number 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now imagine, can you just hear the disappointment in his voice? He's a fisherman. He's been fishing all night long. He's had his nets out. He hasn't caught one fish. He's tired. He's whooped. I learned that word in Texas. He's whooped. He's ready to go to shore. He looks on that shore and he sees Jesus. And Jesus tells him, go ahead and let down your nets. He's probably thinking, you know what? I've been doing this all night long. I'm done. I'm whooped. I'm ready to go into the house. I'm ready to go to bed. I'm tired. Can I tell you something? Jesus will come to you even when you're weary and tired and ask you to take a step of faith. Even when you're weary and tired. Jesus said, let down your nets for a draught. And notice what he said. He said, we've toiled all night, taking nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, I think this is one reason why Peter became a successful Christian, is because he learned to put faith in the Word. He learned to put faith in the Word. He said, Lord Jesus, you said it, so I'm going to believe it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to trust you. And you know what happened? He threw down his net, and look at the next verse. Verse 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. Notice what he said, verse 8. Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, he was ashamed of his faith. But he had learned to put faith in Jesus' word. Have you learned that? Have you learned to put faith in God's word? And when you do, are you resting in your faith in God's word? Oh, that's where a lot of Christians have trouble. See, faith and trust are not restless. Real faith and real trust say, I'm going to just put myself in God's hand, and I'm just going to trust the Lord. Do you have that kind of faith? That's the kind of faith we need. Look at Matthew chapter 8, just a few pages back. The book of Matthew, chapter 8, still with me? Matthew 8, look at verse 2. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus withdrew his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He saw his faith. He saw the man put his faith in the Lord Jesus. Oh, listen, we need faith in our life greater. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We need faith. When you begin to doubt, like Peter, when you begin to sink, reach out and grab God's hand. Put your faith in God. Trust in him. Amen. You know, as a pastor, you may not understand this, but as a pastor, you have to constantly be giving yourself to God. Put your hand in God's hand and put your faith in God. Amen. We have to do it. And it's a constant thing, and we have to keep our hearts always in tune with the need to just keep trusting God, put our faith in God. And we need that. We need that every day. Can I say lastly tonight, we increase our faith when we have less faith in our own ability. You know, there are these people in the Bible who take it upon themselves, they can do God's work in their own power. It's almost like they don't need the Lord. You remember in the Bible, Martha? She was cumbered about with much serving. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm not diminishing serving, and Jesus isn't diminishing serving. He's simply saying that Mary took time to sit at Jesus' feet. And Martha was, I could just see her in a dither. All the time upset and running around and living that kind of life. But she didn't have that faith. We need a faith less in ourselves and more in God. Paul said, he must increase, I must decrease. God, we need more of you, less of me. Amen. And you know what I find in my own Christian life? Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. And I just need to have less of me and more of the Lord in my life. There was a scientist in Scotland. He offered a boy that was walking by a large sum of money if he would allow himself to be let down by a rope over a cliff. Into a mountain gorge. The boy desired the money. He was a poor boy. But when he looked down into the 200-foot chasm, he said, no way. After further persuasion, he said this, the only way I will go down there is if my father holds the rope. That's faith. Can I tell you, you can do whatever God tells you to do. As long as your father's holding the rope. You can do things that you never thought you could do. As long as your father's holding the rope. And I want to tell you something. There is a rope that God's holding. When we have put our faith in him, and when we exercise our faith, and we take steps of faith, our father's holding that rope. And he's not going to let go. He's going to hold on to that rope and take care of us. And that's why we can put steps of faith into our life. That's why we can pray more and give more and go more and serve the Lord and take steps for God that we have never taken before. That's why. Because there's a Father up there that's holding that rope. Oh, listen, if you're saved and you take genuine steps of faith in the Lord, I'll promise you one thing. You will test your Father and see that God the Father will be there to hold on to you. You know, God not only tests us, but sometimes he asks us to test him. Did you know that? Prove me now herewith, he said. Prove me now. Put me to the test sometimes. That's called putting our faith in him and trusting the Lord. And may I tell you what? We all can have simple. If you're saved, you've taken one of the first steps of faith. Amen? That first step of being saved is, that's simple faith in Christ. And that's a platform by which we keep taking steps of faith in our Christian life and serving the Lord. That Father's going to hold the rope for you and I. Lord, how do I do this? Lord Jesus, you've got to increase our faith. And the Lord says, put your trust in me. Hold on that rope. I'll hang on to it. I'm not going to let you go. Put your faith in the Lord. Where's your faith tonight? Where's your faith? Is it in the Lord? Are you holding on to the Lord? Is your life a life of I must decrease and he must increase, or is it I must increase and he must decrease? Oh, I want to tell you, steps of faith in the Lord. Lord, increase our faith. Let's ask God for that. Let's ask God to work in us to do more steps of faith for the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes. Steps of faith. Are you taking any steps? When was the last time you took a step of faith? Oh, we need that. We need faith in our life. I wonder, first of all, maybe there's somebody here, somebody listening tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior.